Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Bet. In this perek, the Rambam continues discussing basic principles related to Melacha on Shabbat in general. The perek begins with the essential principle that the Isur Melacha on Shabbat is set aside whenever a person's life is in danger, and the rest of the perek elaborates on the details of how this principle is applied. Halacha Aleph, Dichuya hi Shabbat etzel sakanat nefashot kishaar kol ha-mitzvot. Lefichach, cholesh yesh bo sakana, osin lo kol tzrachav b'shabbat al pi rofei uman shel oto makom. Safek shu tzarich lechalel alav et ha-shabbat, safek sheino tzarich, v'cheni mama rofei lechalel alav et ha-shabbat, rofei acher omer eino tzarich, mechalin alav et ha-shabbat, shesfek nefashot doche et ha-shabbat. Shabbat is set aside, dichuya, in a case of danger to life, just like all other mitzvot. We note that the phrase all other mitzvot does not include the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, and Shvichut Amim, as we saw in Hilchot Yisodi HaTorah Perek He. Therefore, we perform on Shabbat all the needs of a chole sheyesh bo sakana, a patient whose life is at risk, based on the instructions of a professional doctor. This is true even in a case of safek, where there is only a chance that someone's life may be in danger. For instance, if two doctors weigh in, and only one of them thinks that melacha needs to be done on Shabbat for this patient. Because the rule is that even safek pikuach nefesh overrides the restriction of Shabbat. The Rambam gives concrete examples in Halacha Bet. Cooking food for the patient, heating up water for drinking or washing, lighting a candle when he needs light, extinguishing it when he needs to sleep. Even if the patient requires a treatment lasting 8 days, we don't wait until nightfall so as to avoid having to desecrate two Shabbatot. Rather, we begin the treatment immediately. Halacha Bet ends with an important formulation. Klalo shel davar, Shabbat legabei chole sheyesh bo sakana, harehu kechol lechol hadvarim shutzarich lehem. With regards to the needs of a chole sheyesh bo sakana, Shabbat is the equivalent of a weekday. The importance of this formulation will become clear later in the perek, when we see a halacha which seems to contradict it. Halacha Gimel. Kishosin dvarim ha'elu ein osinotan lo aidei goyim, velo aidei ktanim, velo aidei avadim, velo aidei nashim, kidei shelo tehe shabbat kala beinehem, ela al yidei gedolei Yisrael. Ve'ein morin lanashim lasot dvarim ha'elu, v'asur litmamea b'chilul shabbat lechole sheyesh bo sakana, shnemar asher yaseh otam hadam v'chay behem, v'lo shiamut behem. When malacha is done on Shabbat for the benefit of a chole sheyesh bo sakana, we do not have it done by a child, a non-Jew, or a woman. The mistaken impression an onlooker might get in this case is that the malacha is not genuinely permitted, and therefore we had it done by someone who isn't obligated in mitzvot, or whose obligation is lacking. We note in passing that women are as much obligated to refrain from malacha on Shabbat as men, and so this perception on the part of an onlooker is itself a mistake. Rather, the people who do the malacha on behalf of the chole should be Gedolei Yisrael v'chachameihem. Some have the girsa of just Gedolei Yisrael. And there are two ways to understand this phrase. The Rambam may mean Gedolei Yisrael in the way we use the term. Gedolim, the great chachamim of the town. They should do the malacha in order to make a public statement that the malacha is completely permitted and no one should have any qualms about it. The Kesef Mishnah understands the phrase in a more limited manner. Gedolim means male adults as opposed to children, Yisrael as opposed to non-Jews. Even so, the point of this requirement is still to avoid giving the impression that malacha is only reluctantly permitted. The Rambam adds that one should not delay in doing malacha for a chole sheyesh bo sakana, as the pasuk of v'chay behem indicates the ultimate value of human life, to which all mitzvot are subservient. He continues at the end of the halacha to denounce the minim, the heretics, who claim that even in a case of sakanat nefashot, it is forbidden to do malacha on Shabbat. The next few halachot discuss specific ailments which Chazal considered to be life-threatening and which therefore justify chilul Shabbat. These include a severe eye infection, a bite by a wild dog or possibly venomous snake, as well as a wound to any internal organ. The Rambam's list is not meant to be exhaustive, and he concedes that any condition which contemporary doctors consider life-threatening automatically justifies Chilul Shabbat. Poskim debate the reverse situation. What about a condition like an eye infection, which Chazal considered life-threatening, but modern medicine does not? May we perform melacha for someone who suffers from a condition of this type? I hope to return to this topic in a later shir. Halacha Zayin. Chole sha'amaduhu rofim lahavilo grogeret achat, veratzu asara bnei adam, veviu lo eser grogrot bevat achat, kulam turin miklum, vafilu heviu baze achar ze, vafilu hivriba rishona, sherei kulam birshut heviu. When many people do malacha for the benefit of a chole sheyesh bo sakana, even though only the malacha performed by any one of them was necessary, and even if they did the malacha one after another, so that everyone after the first did the malacha needlessly, all are patur, because all acted for the sake of pikuach nefesh. Halacha chet. Chole sh'aya tzarich lishtei grogarot, v'lo matz'u ela shtei grogarot b'shnei okatzin, v'shalosh grogarot ba'oketz echad, kortin ha'oketz sh'yesh bo shalosh, af api she'ein tzrichin ela lishtayim, kedei sh'lo yarbu b'vitzira. Ela yichritu oketz echad, velo yichritu shnayim, v'chein kol kayotze bazeh. Suppose a chole sheyesh bo sakana requires two figs. We have the option to break off a fig tree, either two branches, each with one fig, or one branch with three figs. In order to minimize the malacha performed, we break off the one branch, even though it has more figs than are necessary for the chole. The Ran makes an important inference from this case. The implication is that if the choice were between one branch with two figs and one with three, we must break off the branch with two, even though the malacha is identical in both cases. This shows that ribui shiurim is prohibited. That is, when a malacha is permitted for the sake of a certain quantity, then one may not increase the quantity even if the malacha involved is the same. Halacha tet. Hamavashel lachole b'shabbat, v'achal hachole v'hotir, asur labari lachol min hamotar, gzeira shema yarbe b'shvilo. Aval ha-shochet lachole b'shabbat, mutar labari lachol menu basar chai, she'en badavar tosefet, kidei shnigzor shema yarbe b'shvilo. V'chein kol kayotze baze. Suppose one cooks food for a chole sheyesh bo sakana in the amount that he should require, but the chole unexpectedly leaves some over. May someone else eat the leftovers? The answer is no, due to a rabbinic gzera. If we let a healthy person eat the leftovers, then maybe the one doing the cooking will surreptitiously cook more than necessary for the chole in order to have leftovers, and that would constitute chilul Shabbat. However, if the malacha was not cooking, but shechting an animal for a chole, then a healthy person may eat any meat of the animal which the chole does not require. Though, of course, in light of the first case, the meat must be uncooked. The reason is that shechting an animal, unlike cooking, is not subject to a change in quantity. Shechting an animal permits all the meat in the animal for eating, and there is no way to increase or decrease that amount. So there is no concern of adding on to the malacha for the sake of a healthy person, like there is in the case of cooking. In the next halacha, the Rambam moves on to the case of a chole she'ein bo sakana, a patient whose life is not in danger. Halacha Yud. Chole she'ein bo sakana, osin lo kol tzrachav al yidei goy. Ketzad, omrin la goy lasot lo, v'hu oseh, levashel lo v'lefot, u'lavi refu'a merushut l'rushut, v'chayotzei ba'elu. V'chein kochel einav min ha'goy b'shabbat, af api she'ein sham sakana. We may ask a non-Jew to do any malacha for the benefit of a chole she'ein bo sakana. For example, cooking for him, carrying for him from one rishut to another, or applying a medicinal coloring to the eye, which is a malacha of kotev, writing. Two questions must be asked regarding this halacha. First, who qualifies as a chole she'ein bo sakana? Is there some threshold, or does anyone who doesn't feel well fit in this category? The Shulchan Aruch rules that it must be someone confined to bed, and the Rama is more lenient and considers anyone with a pain affecting his entire body to be a chole she'ein bo sakana, even if he isn't bedridden. Second, is there anything a Jew himself may do for a chole she'ein bo sakana, say if there isn't a non-Jew available? The Rambam goes on to say that a Jew may do anything which doesn't involve malacha, but what about Isurim Drabanan? The Shulchan Aruch brings several opinions on this point, and I hope to return to the topic in a later shir. In the next halacha, the Rambam begins to discuss the halachot of giving birth on Shabbat. Halacha Yud Aleph. Hayoledet kishikorat leled, harehi besakanat nefashot, umachalina leha et ha-shabbat.
קורין לה חכמה ממקום לקום, וחותכין את הטבור וקושרין אותו. ואם הייתה צריכה לנר בשעה שהיא מצעקת בחבליה, מדליקין לה את הנר. ואפילו הייתה סומה, מפני שדעתה מתיישבת עליה בנר, אף על פי שאינה רואה. ואם הייתה צריכה לשמן וכיוצא בו, מביאים לה, וכל שאפשר לשנות משנים בשעת הבאה, כגון שתביא לה חברתה כלי תלוי בשערה. ואם אי אפשר, מביאה כדרכה. A woman in labor, a יולדת, is considered a חולה שיש בה סכנה, and we violate Shabbat on her behalf. This includes bringing a midwife to help her give birth, cutting and tying the umbilical cord, and lighting a candle for her, even if she only needs this in order to calm down and feel at ease. In Halacha Yudalid, the Rambam adds that a yoledet is especially sensitive to cold, and therefore we may light a fire to warm the house. If she needs oil, then we bring oil even from another reshut. But here the Rambam adds an important line. If it is possible to do the malacha with a shinui, so that the malacha is not asur midoraita because it isn't performed in the normal manner, then we do this. So if possible, a woman attending to the yoledet should bring the oil in a small kli tied to her hair, rather than carrying it directly. How do we understand these words of the Rambam? Is he referring only to bringing oil, which may not be a critical necessity, and only in this case is a shinui required? Or to the other extreme, is the Rambam saying that any time we violate Shabbat for the benefit of a chole sheyesh bo sakana, we should try to do this with a shinui whenever possible? This is the opinion of the Ramban. The Magen Mishnah on this halacha takes a middle approach, contrasting the statement of the Rambam here with his formulation in Halacha Bet that Shabbat is considered the equivalent of a weekday as far as chole sheyesh bo sakana is concerned. The Magen Mishnah concludes that the Rambam distinguishes between a yoledet and other types of chole sheyesh bo sakana. Even though we violate Shabbat for the sake of both, the dispensation is more limited in the case of a yoledet. The reason, says the Magen Mishnah, is that childbirth, despite all the risks which accompany it, is ultimately a natural process, which the vast majority of women survive without harm. So even as we acknowledge the potential danger and allow Chilul Shabbat, the risk is considered less pronounced than for any other Chole Sheyesh Bo Sakana, and as a result, we require the malacha to be done with a shinui whenever possible. We'll summarize the next few halachot outside. In Halacha Yud Bet, the Rambam writes that we may not do malacha on Shabbat to help a non-Jewish yoledet. This gets to the general question of saving the life of a non-Jew on Shabbat, a topic I hope to return to on another occasion. Halacha Yud Gimel lists the different time periods during which we are Mechalel Shabbat for a yoledet. We may be Mechalel Shabbat for her from when she begins to bleed. The Shulchan Aruch adds that we may do so when her water breaks, or she is too weak to walk on her own, or once labor has progressed to a consistent pattern of contractions. From this point until the third day from childbirth, we can do Malacha for her with no reservations. After that, and until day 7, we can do malacha for all her needs, unless she tells us explicitly that there is no need. From then until day 30, she is considered a chole she'ein bo sakana, and therefore we may only ask a non-Jew to do malacha for her, not engage in malacha ourselves. In Halacha Yudalid, after mentioning the heter we referred to earlier, of lighting a fire to warm the house of a yoledet, the Rambam points out that we may also do malacha to save the baby. This includes washing the baby in hot water on the day of birth, and if the baby is a boy, doing the same just before the Brit Milah, just afterwards, and on the third day from the Brit, when, as we mentioned in Hilchot Milah, there is considered to be an especially severe danger to the health of the baby. The Ravid here says that washing just before the Brit Milah is not considered genuine pikuach nefesh. Hence, we may not heat up the water ourselves, but rather we ask a non-Jew to heat it. Even though it is forbidden in general to bathe on Shabbat in water heated up that day, even by a non-Jew, because of rabbinic gzeira, as we'll learn in Perek Kaf Bet, this gzeira is waived in order to allow the milah to take place on time. Halacha Tetvav. Ha'isha shiyashva ala mashber v'meita, mevi'in sakin b'shabbat, afilu derech reshut harabim, v'kor'in et kreisa u'motzi'in et havalad. Shema yimatzei chai, shesefek nefashot dochet ha'shabbat. If a woman dies in childbirth, we may do malacha to save the life of the fetus. The chidush of this halacha is that in all areas of halacha, the fetus is not yet considered a human life, until it emerges from the mother's womb. Nonetheless, the potential life which it represents is sufficient basis on which to allow Chilul Shabbat. Starting in Halacha Tet Zayin, the Rambam discusses a few specific scenarios in which Chilul Shabbat is permitted to save the life of a baby or a grown adult in distress. If a baby falls into the sea, then a net may be spread in which to locate him and take him out. One who does this in an attempt to save the baby, but ends up just catching fish, is patur from the malacha of trapping, seida, because of his intent. And conversely, one who intends to catch fish in violation of Shabbat, but ends up saving the baby, with or without fish too, is patur because of the unintended positive result of his actions. A door may be broken down to save a baby trapped behind it, and a fire may be doused to save someone who is endangered by it. In all these cases, one may take the initiative and act as he sees necessary, without waiting to receive approval from Beit Din or any other authority to be Mechalel Shabbat in order to save a life. Halacha Yudchet. Mi shenafla alav mapolet, safek hu sham, safek sheino, mifakchin alav. Mitzauhu chai, af al pi shenitrotzeitz v'yafshar shi'avri, mifakchin alav umotzi'in oto l'chaye ota sha'a. Badku ad chotmo v'lo matzu bo nishama, manichin oto shekvar meit. Badku umatzu elyonim meitim, lo yomru kvar meitu tachtonim. Ela mifakchin al hakol she'efshar b'mapolet she'amut ha'elyon v'yechiyah ha'tachton. When a person may be trapped under a pile of rocks, we may do melacha to clear the rocks, even though it is possible no one is there. If we find a live person who cannot live more than a short time, we may nonetheless continue to do melacha in order to excavate him so that he can live a little longer. Even an extra few minutes of life qualifies as pikuach nefesh, which sets aside the isur melacha on Shabbat. If we find a person who isn't breathing, we may assume that his heart has stopped as well, and we do not continue to perform malacha to save him. If several people are buried under the rocks, even if the ones higher up are found dead, we continue excavating to see if the ones lower down are alive, and we do not assume that they too must be dead. Halachot Chaf and Chaf Aleph are an interesting application of the principles of Kavua and Kol Deparish Meruba Parish, which we will see in other contexts elsewhere. Suppose that in some chatzer there resides one Jew, together with a large number of non-Jews. When one resident of the chatzer is buried under rocks, we may excavate on Shabbat on the chance that it is the Jew buried beneath. Similarly, if one unknown resident leaves from this chatzer to another chatzer and is buried under rocks there, we may excavate for the same reason. In these cases, we apply the concept of kavua. The residents of the chatzer as a group are fixed in their location, even though in the second case, one member of the group separates. And therefore, when something happens to one of them, we treat the situation as if it were 50-50, even though in practice, there is a very low probability that the person trapped under the rocks is Jewish. But if all the residents of the chatzer move to another chatzer, and once there, one of them separates from the group and is buried under rocks, we cannot apply the concept of kavua, because the entire group has moved from its usual location, and instead we say, kol deparish meruba parish. The one who separated from the group is assumed to have come from the majority, that is, the non-Jews, and therefore we do not excavate to save him. Obviously, if the majority of the residents are Jews, then we excavate in this case too. Halacha chafbet. Hamhalech b'amidbar v'lo yada matayu yom ha-shabbat, monem yom sheta'a shisha, ומקדש שביעי, ומברך בו ברכת היום, ומבדיל במוצאו כשבת. ובכל יום ויום, ואפילו ביום זה שהוא מקדש ומבדיל בו, מותר לו לעשות כדי פרנסתו בלבד, כדי שלא ימות. ואסור לו לעשות יתר על פרנסתו. שכל יום ויום ספק שבת הוא. ואם ידע שהיום שמיני ליציאתו, או 15 ליציאתו וכיוצא בזה המניין, הרי זה מותר לעשות כל מלאכה באותו היום, שהרי הדבר ודאי שלא יצא בשיירה בשבת, ושאר הימים חוץ מיום זה עושה כדי פרנסתו בלבד. What does someone do if he finds himself wandering in the wilderness and has no idea when Shabbat is? Starting on whatever day he finds himself, he counts 6 days and treats the seventh as Shabbat, with Kiddush and Havdalah, and continues to do the same every seventh day. On all days, both the ones he treats as Chol and those he treats as Shabbat, he may do the minimal amount of Malacha he needs in order to survive, and no more, as any day may really be Shabbat. The exception is if he knows how many days it has been since he left home. In this case, Even if he doesn't know what day of the week it is, he can be sure that he didn't leave home on Shabbat. So on the 7th, 14th, 21st, etc., days after leaving home, he can certainly do as much melacha as he wants. The last halachot of the perek relate to saving lives in the communal rather than the individual context. When non-Jews besiege a Jewish city in a manner that threatens the lives of the city residents, then we may do melacha to repel the besieging army. There is a mitzvah, even on Shabbat, to take weapons and join in the effort to relieve the city in distress. The Rambam adds at the end of Halacha Chaf Gimel an important leniency, which we will see in other contexts as well. U'cheshiyatzilu et achihem mutar lehen lachzor b'chlei zayin shelehen limkoman b'shabbat kidei shelo lachshilan latid lavo. Even though armor and weapons are muktzah on Shabbat when not necessary for going into battle, the Jews who take part in the battle can continue to wear their armor and carry their weapons even on their way back home after the battle has ended. The reason is the concern of shelo lachshilam latid lavo. If we don't allow them to carry these weapons home, then next time they may not go into battle in the first place in order to avoid being stuck in a quandary afterwards. In Halacha Chaf Daled, the Rambam adds that we may embark on a rescue mission on Shabbat when a Jewish life is at stake, including a ship stranded at sea or a flooding river. We may also blow shofarot in order to spread the word and bring more people who can help in the rescue mission. And we can pray for divine assistance in the rescue, despite the general restriction against praying for physical needs on Shabbat. War may be fought on Shabbat, both Milchemet Reshut and Milchemet Mitzvah, though in the case of Milchemet Reshut, the war must begin no fewer than 3 days before Shabbat. The Rambam ends the parak by pointing out that the conquest of Yericho by Yehoshua took place on Shabbat.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.